Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lafondra looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Elm Park Roars podcast in association with Blue Collar Street Food. We are talking about the game yesterday against Preston North End. I am Matthew Williamson. I'm joined by Alex. How are you doing, Alex?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, Matt. 3 points yesterday off the board, and it was nice to see a good performance as well.
Yeah, sorry, you had your mic muted. Maybe I should have gone to Eric first. Eric also joins us. Hi, Eric.
Yeah, hi, Matt. Yeah, happy days, and it's really nice. Like, I'm surprised how different it is seeing football with crowds present. Like, really nice to see. I wasn't there, obviously, but even just watching from afar, hearing the crowd noise, it's a different game.
Yeah, I mean, it's just nice to not have to flip between Sky channels to try and figure out which one doesn't have the fake crowd noise on it anymore. And yeah, in the ground, it was great. Obviously, you know, I think everyone has some kind of qualms with what's going on around and inside the ground at the minute. But as you say, just to have those fans back is brilliant. We will start from the team news. I believe we were actually unchanged, Alex, but on the pitch, we did play slightly differently, didn't we?
Yeah, it was an unchanged team. I think that's maybe a little surprising. I think a lot of people were expecting Injaria to come back into the starting lineup, and maybe it was a tad surprising given how we had heard during the week that he was definitely in contention. Not to even see him in the squad yesterday was a bit disappointing. But yeah, we definitely played slightly differently. Aziz definitely was more central going forwards, particularly in the first half. And actually, to be honest, most of the game, he was much more central and linked up with Zhao quite a lot. And then at the back, I mean, we were definitely much more, I'm not quite sure what the right word for it is, but there was definitely a change in formation, wasn't there?
Yeah, I mean, Eric, if you had to put a formation on it, what would you have called it?
It was one of them where it looked like we had two formations, one with the ball and one without, wasn't it? A little bit. But you definitely said it was like a back 3/5 with McIntyre, left-sided centre-half, and then Bristow as a kind of left wing-back. I think last week he was a bit more advanced, a bit more sort of left wing, but it definitely felt like maybe a 5-3-2. I don't know. What would you call it, Matt?
Yeah, I think a 5-3-2 is probably what I would name it. As Alex says, Aziz, he had quite a free role. He kind of drifted around Zhao. He did sometimes start the attack off the right-hand side and then drift in. And then John Swift did whatever he wanted to as well. But yeah, I think after Stoke, there was a bit of debate about were we a back four or a back five? And I don't think that was the case this time out. Alex, talking of that back five, Bristow, he didn't have the best of games against Stoke, but I thought he was a bit better yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday I didn't notice him as much, which I think is probably a credit to him. I wasn't expecting him to come out and have a worldly performance or anything yesterday. So the few times I did notice him, it was less than when it was at Stoke. Is he going to be a starter for 46 games? I think it's unlikely. But he was improved yesterday, certainly, than against Stoke. And certainly defensively, he was definitely more positionally aware than he was against Stoke, I think.
Yeah, and presumably that change to just give him the left-back slot helped him. Eric, he did have a big chance actually early on where I think it was Lucas Zhao down the right, kind of pulls it across goal and Bristow shoots, but it's blocked on the line-ish. How did you see it?
Yeah, it's a good chance. You know, you want that to fall to kind of anybody but your left-back, don't you, almost? But he actually, like, in fairness to him, he did well to keep his head over the ball. He kept the ball low. You know, quite often you see those kind of chances flash across and then the ball just goes skywards, whereas he kept the shot low, he kept it on target, and I think it was good bit of defending in the end. I think overall, Bristow, I think he was helped by McIntyre yesterday. I think I saw some stats. I think it was who scored. I think McIntyre made one of the teams of the week or something. And I think just having clearer roles in defence, I think McIntyre really played well yesterday, and that helped Bristow out. I think it was just one kind of lapse of concentration right at the end that we were talking about before the pod started. That was Bristow's downfall, but otherwise pretty good.
On that Bristow chance, I'm actually quite surprised that it wasn't handball, in all honesty. I don't think the referee got a particularly good view of it, but certainly from the east end, it looked to me as if the Preston player basically almost caught it in with it into his chest as he's blocked it. But would it be given? It would have been a very harsh penalty, but I wouldn't have been surprised to see a referee give it yesterday because it certainly bounces up off his arm or comes into his arm when he blocks it.
A handball. As a block, no, they're never giving us penalties. Oh, wait, maybe we'll come on to that a bit later. But things started pretty well. I mean, I don't think that Preston really had any chances in the first 45, almost at all. And like Reading's pressure did eventually tell. It was Laurent, it wasn't Bristow. I did see a few people online saying it was Bristow, but he gets the ball out on the left and puts in a great cross to the back post that Aziz... I don't quite understand what happened there between Aziz and the forward, but he managed to somehow get it and poked home. Eric, that's got to be good for his confidence. That's a first league goal for him.
Yeah, fantastic goal. And you know, the build-up play by Joao and Laurent was excellent. And I think Aziz, apart from the goal, right, he just caused Preston all sorts of problems the whole game. He was running in behind the defence and... they really couldn't cope with him and deservedly got his goal. And, you know, we were all talking before the start of the season, you know, we're really going to miss Mate and his contribution. But so far, actually, you'd say that Aziz has been a really, really apt replacement. And if he can actually get goals, which is what Mate gives you, then you know, really happy days. And I think we all start thinking already, when's his contract expire? Because that's going to be the next question that comes if he keeps playing really well.
Yeah, I mean, I think I said in the group chat that you basically couldn't have asked for a better Mate replacement if you'd bought one, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, he plays in such a similar kind of style, running in behind. He's happy to, you know, take a large volume of shots. He seems to be a fairly powerful player in the sense of, you know, he's got a decent run on him. He's got pace. He's got strength on the ball. Realistically, like you say, you couldn't have asked for a much better replacement for Yaku Mate if you tried, I think. He took his goal really well. I think if you watched it live, maybe it looks a little bit like a tap in, but in reality, he's controlled it on his right foot and put it back onto his left foot to knock it past the defender. So it was a well-controlled goal, even if it was only 2 yards out. And it's great for him to get a goal, you know, down in front of Club 1871 and be able to celebrate with home fans for his first league goal.
Yeah, I think I should caveat by saying that we're all talking about he's a similar style of player to Mate. We're not expecting him to go and score a similar number of goals necessarily right yet. And actually that did kind of show in the rest of the game because he had a couple more chances, two quite similar where he kind of gets the ball in the centre of the pitch after good runs in behind and forces himself wide and in the end doesn't even hit the target, Eric. So like there are clear bits to work on for him.
Yeah, exactly. And you think with a youngster, you usually get a kind of dip of form and stuff. But the one thing you'd say so far, he's playing with absolutely no fear whatsoever, and he seems to be thriving, you know, taking his chance. So if he can score you know, even a percentage of the goals of Mate, and if he can keep causing other teams problems, I thought his link up with Joao and kind of playing off Joao worked really well yesterday, and if he can keep doing that, it'll make our attacking play a lot better for it.
Yeah, Alex, I know we touched on the formation at the beginning. How much of the improvement yesterday was down to the fact that Zhao and Aziz could kind of play off each other, and how much was just that the team seemed to gel a bit more?
50-50. I think it's the Zhao had a better game, which definitely helped, right? On the ball, he looked much more comfortable, and he was getting a lot more of the ball as well yesterday. So the fact that Aziz was able to kind of complement that, with runs off of him and runs in behind, I think that certainly helps. The formation change, it's definitely got to be a part of it, because I think you could see it certainly in the second half that Rinomota was being released up on the right-hand side quite often, especially when we were counter-attacking. It felt like we had more men getting forwards, despite not necessarily having a formation that would suggest that would be the case. So I think it's a bit of both, really. But and who knows? Perhaps it's partly to do with the fact that Preston weren't really that good.
No, I mean, this is a team that lost 4-1 against Hull last weekend, so we do have to take that into account. I think mid-game I said that this was very much like a Mark Bowen team. Like, Rino was making the same runs that Mark Bowen was trying to make him make. Like, Morrison was carrying the ball forward from defence like Matt Miazga used to. But let's not go back into that. Let's let old horses lie. Zhao, as you mentioned, he had a very good game. Just after half-time, he hit the post. Eric, should he have scored?
Yeah, I mean, the ball, first of all, by Swift was just, what's the word? Delicious, exquisite, great pass by Swift, threading the needle. And, you know, last season's Zhao, you expect him to score that, you know, 9 times out of 10 or even 49 times out of 50, whatever you want to say. Hits the inside of the post, so it is just inches, right? And it would have really put the game to bed, I feel, if he'd have got it. But hit the post. Was that little bit of luck that he kind of didn't get? And it was a shame, because the pass deserved it, the pass from Swift.
Yeah, I thought he did everything right. He kind of made that angle for himself to go near post, but just didn't quite, you know, execute as well as he could have done, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, you're hoping that last season wasn't a one-off with his finishing. The first half of last season, obviously, he was very, very clinical. And the second half of last season, he was not. So we're hoping, obviously, that he's going to kind of get a happy medium, as it were. And you see a consistent performance from him the whole season. But I think it's just one of those chances where a little bit of luck and it bounces off the inside of the post and rolls inwards rather than outwards and goes in. But I think he'll get enough chances this season that he'll still get a decent enough goal tally.
I mean, are we? Well, I was about to phrase this as a question, but I think that everyone would agree that we probably are a weaker team without Lucas Zhao in it. How worried are you, Eric, by the fact he did limp off? And it doesn't look great. I mean, Paulo said some kind of, he said some stuff around it, but it doesn't sound like it's just a contact injury.
Yeah, the word scan usually scare me, right? That there were scans mentioned, which usually means some sort of muscle or ligament injury. Hopefully, maybe a slight muscle strain, which could be like a couple of weeks. But, you know, it could be worse. You just don't know at this stage. And, yeah, the one thing you would say, as much as there were some positives yesterday, our squad is still absolutely paper thin. So if he's out for any length of time, then, yeah, the pressure is really on some of the other players to step up. And it'd be difficult. He's almost irreplaceable for us.
There was some comments online yesterday of people having seen Lucas Zhao afterwards on crutches when he left the stadium, which... I don't think it bodes that well, particularly for Tuesday. I'd be very surprised to see him play on Tuesday if he's got any even minor injury. You would imagine that he's probably going to be rotated and left out.
I mean, I was going to discuss this later, but this is quite a good point to throw in now. Only one substitution yesterday. Are you worried by that, Eric? By the fact, like you've obviously said, our squad's thin. Was that just a case of the fact that these guys were doing well and Pano wanted to leave them on? Or do you see it as kind of indicative of our problems within the squad.
Yeah, no, that exactly that, right? You might say that Dele Bashiru might have come on if he'd have spent a bit more time with the team, perhaps, as a decent option. Holmes is obviously a decent defensive option, but at the time we were playing okay. But definitely, like, if you look at the caliber of player that's on the bench, it's not anywhere near where it's been in recent seasons. And yeah, a few injuries. Like, if you think one injury, most teams and squads can cope with one injury. But imagine if Joao and Swift and Laurent, for example, got injured, or one of the centre halves. You know, we're only a couple of injuries away from absolute disaster playing with some kids.
I do think that part of the reason, though, we didn't see a sub yesterday, at least, is Paulo really just likes, or wants at least, to trust his players, doesn't he? Very much, you know, we've heard it from him over the last year or so about how he wants battlers and warriors, and we like multiple terms along that line, along those lines. And I think not making subs, kind of, it's one of those processes that he goes through where he wants people to basically prove themselves to him, and prove that they've got, you know, prove what they've got, what it takes essentially to battle through and see these wins out. So I think that's probably part of the reason that we didn't see someone like Tom Holmes or Dele Bashiru come on, because it's Paulo almost wants players to earn their place in the first 11 and prove that they should be there for a reason, basically.
Yeah, I think that works in single games, but when you start doing that across the season, obviously that tots up. Hopefully this season it's not quite as intense. Obviously last year, I do think that Paulo's lack of subs played into it last year, but let's not go around that merry-go-round again either. So coming back to the actual game, the actual action. Yes, so Preston may not have gotten given a penalty against them for a player diving with his arms out, but Morrison, I mean, I just like, if you're going to dive and try and block a shot, do not flail yourself as big as possible, surely, Eric.
Yeah, exactly. I think the shot was going over as well, so it was just really kind of needless. At the same time, you know, at that speed, you are throwing yourself. Like, did he do it on purpose, like put his hands up? I don't know. Either way, you can't really have too many complaints about the penalty. He made himself bigger, blocked the shot. And yeah, we know Daniel Johnson's a good penalty taker, so it was unfortunate, because I definitely didn't think Preston deserved to be in the game at that point. We were quite dominant up until that point. They didn't really have many chances. And then, of course, they score and 1-1. You're thinking, okay, now the mental test is on for this team. What can they do from here?
No, that just felt like classic Reading, really. Just sort of not converting chances, going to 1-1. I thought Raphael was almost there. He did do pretty well on the penalty, even if he didn't save it. Alex, what was your view?
It was a decent effort by Raphael, to be fair to him. Close to saving it. Not a bad penalty by Johnson, though, in reality. And yeah, I mean, I just agree with you. It felt very kind of typical Reading. You know, we've had multiple chances. We probably could have been ahead by maybe three goals by that point, I think, and it wouldn't have been necessarily all that unfair. So to find ourselves at 1-1, it felt pretty unjust, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is, it just felt like Groundhog Day in many ways. But I wouldn't have been surprised at that point if it was another 4-1 scoreline against Preston, but wasn't to be. Thankfully, this time, Reading actually managed to get their act together. And if John Swift isn't one of the best players in the division, Eric, I do not know who is.
Yeah, and that second goal just sort of epitomises John Swift and what he can give to the team. It was one of those moves that just, it was just brilliant football by three players. I think it was Laurent, Swift and Joao, all exchanging passes within a short space of time. Swift goes in and scores. And it reminded me, not quite similar, but the goal that Nick Blackman scored against Hull, where it just, for a few seconds, looked like total football. It was just a couple of really good 1-2s and then a good finish by Swift. And yeah, I mean, when John Swift is fit and firing, there's not many better players in the division. And, you know, 2 goals in 2 games. He started this season on absolute fire. Long may it continue as long as he can stay fit.
Yeah, Eric's definitely right. I hadn't really made that connection, but that whole goal which Nick Blackman scored, which people still kind of, you still see it shared online every so often as an example of, oh, what a team goal. That was a really well-worked team goal, I think. Obviously, John Swift takes a lot of the plaudits for it, but it's a good assist by Lucas Schau off of the 1-2. And John Swift's all-round game yesterday, though, was just incredible. The pass through to Lucas Schau, just fantastic. He was all over the place. He runs this team realistically, and you know, with him, we're a completely different side to without him. And when he's on the field, really, I feel like we're a match for probably 20 teams in this league going forwards at the very least. Without him, we're, you know, a lot less attacking threat, certainly. And yeah, he's got to be one of the best players in this division. I'd be amazed if neutrals out there could name any better centre and midfielders than John Swift in the Championship.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was my man of the match last week. Probably either Reading or Stoke. I thought he was phenomenal. He probably was my man of the match this week too, although I admittedly did say that was Raphael. That was Heat at the moment, because Heat did do some very good stuff towards the end that we'll come on to. Reading should have again put themselves out of sight. Like, it was a counter from, I think, a Preston corner that Femi Aziz picks up on the edge of his box, and he keeps running and he keeps running and he keeps running. He passes up the pass to his right. He doesn't pick out Zhao on his left. And he shoots wildly, Alex.
It's a really good run, not by Aziz, but by Josh Lauren, actually, because it was one of the, whilst we were watching this, Lauren and Zhao, as they pass the halfway line, are both on Aziz's left, and Lauren actually has the intelligence to realise that if he offers an option to the right, then Aziz has got 2 options to pass to. And then we get to 25 yards or 20 yards from goal, and Aziz just fires it over. And I have absolutely no idea why he hasn't laid in Zhao or passed it off to Lauren. It's just completely confusing. You know, I feel like that is great. You know, it's fantastic that he wants to take shots on, but that was a bit of an odd decision to take there. The shot itself was pretty poor, wasn't it? I think it wasn't even really close to challenging the keeper whatsoever, which is a shame, because it would have been a fantastic counter-attack.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about a Mate replacement, Eric. I think Mate probably would have taken the same option, to be honest.
Possibly, yeah. He's not against having a shot, is he, Mate? But it's one of those you kind of say, debut goal terrorised Preston in the first half, especially with his running. We'll let him off this once.
Yeah, I mean, so he did score once, as you say. He probably had 3 or 4 good chances to improve his goal tally already.
And on another day, he could have had a hat trick, Matt. Really.
Yeah, exactly. And like, and that is both a positive and a negative at the minute, right, Alex? Like, that is where he needs to improve slightly.
Yeah, well, yes and no. Because I think if Mate had those chances yesterday and he'd scored one, we would have said, well, that's just a typical Mate performance, is that he needs 5 chances to score 1 goal. You know, if Aziz is the same and he takes five chances to score 1 goal, but he's the one creating 4 of them, then it doesn't really seem like a negative particularly. It's just a player who needs a high volume amount of shots to score. But, you know, if he's creating those chances for himself, then I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing.
I think a player that gets himself in enough positions to score, that's the key. And that's all positive. Like, he got himself in some really good positions. On another day, could have nicked 1 or 2 more goals. And yeah, really good. Considering this is his first couple of games in the Championship as well, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, they talk about people like Jared Bowen just being high-volume shooters that, you know, do... Like, that's their whole game plan, pretty much. Take as many shots as possible, and some of them will go in. I do think Femi Aziz has some things to work on. Like, his first touch does tend to take him a bit wide, and that also has a knock-on effect for, you know, whether he can score. I think we saw that yesterday. I think we saw that against Stoke as well. But he's, you know, as we all are in agreement, it's... I think it's a light that we didn't see coming. So that's always good. Preston, towards the end, they did have a bit of rear guard action. There was a header at the back post that, you know, again, very similar to Stoke, went just wide. Like, fans thought it was in, but thankfully the wrong side, Alex.
That was an appalling miss. I don't know who the header was from, but he's 2 yards from goal and he's managed to head it somehow wide, which was, it was just, that was dreadful.
I think it was Brown. I think it was their captain. So, you know, he's probably done better things in his life, I would imagine. Then Raphael comes up with some actual big saves. Bristow probably has, you know, a lot to thank Raph for, Eric.
Yeah, for sure. I think it might have been one of Raphael's better games for us. Certainly from a shot stopping point of view. You know, he was solid and he didn't really make any mistakes, which he has done in the past. And those two saves at the end, like you say, he's definitely owed some favours by Bristow. That was really tame header at the end, and we got away with it, luckily, because that would have been a disaster at that point.
The save in itself is a match-winning save. It's a save which deserves to win a game. That's how good it was for the one-off of the header from Bristow. I mean, he saved it from, what, 4 yards, 5 yards out, and actually managed to push it wide and out for a corner.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because we'll remember yesterday as a good Raphael game, but with his feet, he was actually, like, it's one of the worst games I've seen him have. He was dreadful. But then at the end, with that free kick, that's one that time after time we've been saying he needs to save those, and Alex, he finally made one.
Yeah, I was a little worried when they had the free kick and it was a 92nd minute or something, and you feel your heart drop a little bit when you know that Preston are going to strike the ball from 25 or 30 yards. But it was a great last 10 minutes from Raphael. And as you say, with his feet, it wasn't fantastic, but giving him massive credit, the saves are what count at the end of the day. And if he makes the saves, then no one's going to really remember what he does with his feet, I think.
Yeah, and your question is distribution, but it wasn't even to the point where any of his kind of play with his feet put us into danger or put us into trouble. So although it wasn't amazing, you'd still say that his first primary goal is to be there to make the saves, which he did brilliantly. And then as long as he doesn't put us into danger, you'd say it's just about acceptable.
Yeah, I mean, even if he doesn't hit the man every time, like, just the fact that he is comfortable with his feet in a way that others aren't is a super beneficial thing to have. Alex, what were you going to say? Sorry, I cut you off.
I was just going to say a lot of the issue with his feet for distribution is generally that it just goes straight out of play. It could be worse, right? Like, if you watch the Arsenal game on Friday night, they had issues passing it out from the back and the ball getting picked up very high up the field. And it's, if he's gonna have bad distribution, at least we're not giving the ball directly to Preston in play. So
yeah, and I don't want to end on a negative because Raphael was very good yesterday. As I said, he probably was my man of the match. Well, after the game, like directly after the game, because of those saves, because. I don't think others would have made them, and he definitely kept us.
There were a few candidates for man of the match, weren't there? I thought Laurent, Rinamota, Joao, Swift, all brilliant.
Alex is shaking his head, but I thought Josh Laurent was incredible yesterday.
There was no candidates for man of the match, guys. I'm sorry. John Swift was by far and away the best player on the field.
Yeah, but I take John Swift out of all of my man of the matches because I pick him every week, and it would just be terrible.
Okay, I do agree. Laurent was very, very good yesterday, though, as well. So it's not the case of I think they were poor. I just think that John Swift was head and shoulders above everybody else.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, in reality, I mean, he's the one player that we have that can unlock a defence, and he did it multiple times. So please stay fit, Mr. Swift.
Yeah, and also, Alex, it's a lot less interesting as a pod if we just all agree on the same thing. So come on, get with the format. Eric, I'll give you the last word. How did you feel? Like, are you more optimistic after yesterday than you maybe were? Like, things look rosier, don't they?
Yeah, I was really worried before the start of the season with the shape of the squad. Still no signings for a very long time. So a couple of positives is, one, the way we played. I actually thought we played well yesterday. Yes, Preston weren't great, but we still had to go out and do the job. We still played really well. We still had some really nice moments from Aziz, from Swift, from Laurent. And also, we were able to make a signing, Dele Bashiru. So I take that as another positive, because hopefully that means it's the first of, I don't think it's going to be many, but a first of a few signings that could just push us to be comfortable mid-table, maybe. You never know in this league, because it's the most unpredictable league, but at least there's some hope there. I see a light at the end of the tunnel. And I definitely think if we can keep Swift and Joao playing most of the games this season, there's three worse teams than us in this division, no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, I agree with Eric. There's definitely more to be optimistic about with having seen those first two games. I think attacking-wise, we do look threatening going forward, certainly. And we probably look more threatening in the past two games than we did for a lot of games last season. And I think Paulo confirmed, might have been yesterday, that we've got the green light from the EFL basically to make signings, as long as they're still approved by the EFL and they're either loans or out of contract players only. But it feels like that was all we were ever going to bring anyway, so I don't really think it changes very much, except for the fact that we're now allowed to do them. So hopefully, if we can get another couple of signings before the end of August, you'd like to think that we're going to have more than enough to easily stay in the division, because there's, as Eric said, there's got to be three worse teams in this division. Preston were not very good, and there's definitely sides who are not, you know, not even as good as Preston in this league at the moment, I think.
Well, thanks, Alex, for hijacking Eric's last word. I think we will be back after the Bristol City game to talk through, you know, hopefully another win. And then you should come and listen to me and Matt Joy on the preview pod. I'm not sure if Paul shouts us out, but you really should, because Matt Joy is very interesting, even if I'm not. Thank you very much for joining us, Eric. I know it's late over in Singapore, but you're still a Reading fan, aren't you?
Yeah, plastic one from afar. No, I love it. It's good to stay involved, and it's still good to see the fans. I'm insanely jealous of you guys being able to go, but it's just nice that fans are back, because it means football's back properly.
Yeah, absolutely. And Alex, okay, if you want the last word so bad, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you very much, Matt.
And thank you to everyone for listening. As I say, yes, we'll be back after Bristol City at some point, probably Wednesday or Thursday. See